Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So there's always this very, very confusing thing about booking airline tickets because it nothing ever makes sense. The prices never make sense. But apparently there is some, I don't know, science to this. And Google, in fact, were doing some research as to pricing and when it's good to book tickets. We wanted to get a little bit more information about it. Dr. Guy Leach, who's the publisher and editor of the SA Flyer magazine. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning and nice to be with you. I'm well indeed.
So is there an art, is there a science to booking tickets? Because, I don't know, I never seem to get it right. Everyone always tells me, no, they booked this and they got it for that price and then they did it through Discovery and then Discovery paid them. But so everything was free and then they used Voyager miles and all I do is pay for tickets. And everybody's got a fancy way of booking tickets and basically doing it for free. Am I the only idiot in the world?
Yes, there is indeed an art and a science behind it, and it's really opaque. It's really hard to see exactly how it works, but the principles are really easy. It's as though airlines are greengrocers in selling fruit which goes off.
Right.
You know, there's nothing as perishable as last night's hotel bed, which is unsold, or an airline seat, which is unsold. So, you know, in theory, an airline could be prepared to sell an airline seat for 10 rand, because it was 10 rand they otherwise wouldn't have got if it had blown empty.
Right.
I think let me take your listeners back to 25, 30 years ago when airlines priced all their tickets at the same price. You know, it was like going to buy a movie ticket. Everyone paid the same price and that was it. And the airline hoped, and also, by the way, the airlines often overbooked by as much as 10, 15, even 20% because a lot of the people just wouldn't pitch up. Then they created this dynamic pricing model. It's also called load management or yield management, whereby they vary the prices on a continual basis. So if just 2 days before the flight is going to leave, it's still only half, they can really dramatically discount the prices of the tickets. And so there's an opportunity there for the astute traveler to buy tickets at the last minute like bombs, as it were, and in theory get them cheaper. But the risk is that actually what's happening is that the airline has actually sold most of the tickets and now there are only five left on that flight, in which case it will put the prices up enormously. So, yes, while you could get cheaper tickets if you buy them really late, just before the flight leaves, you could also end up paying a lot more because there are just very few seats left. So a good rule of thumb for your listeners is buy a ticket as early as possible, because the airlines start off the tickets as cheaply, already quite cheaply, not dirty, but let's say, you know, 1,500 grand for argument's sake. And then they see how it goes. And if it's going well, then they put the prices up. If it's not going so well, then they drop the prices down. But rule number one, get in early rather than late, because then at least you're not risking having joining the last-minute rush for tickets that have limited availability. Another way of making sure that you get cheap tickets is obviously to travel at unpopular times. Don't travel on Friday afternoons. Don't, you know, travel midweek and travel very early in the morning, or travel even better midday, because midday often doesn't have as many business travelers as in the past. And then the great mystery for so many other things is to understand the loyalty schemes, Discovery's loyalty schemes and so on, and Vitality, and, you know, all those sort of things. They can, if you work them, pay off. But it's also true to say that the airlines have also realized that there were dysfunctionalities, there were problems creeping into the system, and that it wasn't good if they'd sold a ticket to somebody for 100 rand and the person next to them had paid 3,000 rand for the same ticket. Obviously,
yes,
there would be sort of discontent about that.
Mm.
So most of the airlines have agreed to, just amongst themselves, set a policy for themselves. There's no rule. That they will not make it cheaper, any one ticket more than three times more than the next seat, you know. So, yes, you can still get a 300% difference. You could pay, you know, 500 rand, and the person next to you could have paid 1,500 rand. But most of the time, they'll average around about the 1,000 rand mark, and that's how it works.
Should we buy tickets that are flexible?
Not if you want the cheapest ticket.
Right, because sometimes it's tempting. You see, you go online, and your cheapest ticket obviously is not a flexible ticket, and then you then you start doubting yourself. You know, how confident am I that?
Well, yes. So part of yield management or dynamic pricing is to try and is for the airlines to have certainty that the ticket that they've sold will actually be used and flown, so they can get paid for it. So if they put flexibility into the mix, then they don't know that the people are actually going to pitch up and fly. So they'll charge quite a lot more for that. And again, there are other ways of achieving discount. Airlines like FlySafair there domestically, which is really the only one still flying domestically as a low-cost carrier, you know, are charging you extra for checked baggage and so on. So, you know, if you can travel with just hand luggage, obviously that's a lot quicker and easier and cheaper. There are any number of ways of doing that, but certainly you pay a premium for flexibility. And except, by the way, for Lyft Airlines, you know, the new airline, and they've made their big selling point the ability to be flexible and to just change tickets without big penalties.
Is that likely to be a short-term approach?
No. This model is well established in the industry. As I said, it's been established for 25, 30 years now.
Right.
So we're going to have to live with yield management and the, you know, suddenly creep in. But one of the other benefits, by the way, is that there's very little overbooking, because especially where airlines charge quite punitive fees for changing your ticket later.
Right.
They're able to sell maybe 102% of the total tickets on the assumption that 2% of the people will get stuck in traffic on the way to the airport or miss their flight because of whatever reason in the airport. So there's very little overbooking like that. It's much more precise because of the dynamic pricing mechanism that they're using.
Right. So I think in summary, what you're saying is book as early as possible, even though you might find the graph where it goes becomes more expensive, but then closer to the time of the flight, it can get cheaper. You still risk it not becoming cheaper. That's the risk that you're taking.
One of the most annoying things for people booking is that they go and get online and they go onto, say, Safair, for argument's sake, FlySafair, and they see that they can get a ticket for, let's say, 1,500 rand. They say, okay, I'll go and check another airline, okay, and then they go and check, in this case, Lyft or SAA or whatever, and then they discover, oh no, that's 1,600 rand. So they go back to FlySafair, and then they discover, oh, the price has gone up to 1,700 rand, even in the 5 minutes.
Right.
And the interesting thing is that it's because the computer actually saw them investigating. So it said, oh, there's demand for this flight.
Right,
so it bumped up the flight.
Yes.
So it doesn't really help to sort of be fishing in and out. You know, don't do it too many times, because the more times you go in and out, the more the computer thinks that actually there's real interest in that flight and will start pushing up the tickets. And it's also, therefore, quite interesting if you are wanting to travel as a family, let's say four.
You book
all four tickets at once rather than going book one by one by one by one, because often the prices will start going up as you start booking them.
Ah, very, very interesting. I do disagree. I think the most annoying thing are those people that get all of these flights for like 25 Rand. And as I say, you've had to mortgage your house in order to pay for your tickets.